This is John Floridis. Welcome to Musician Spotlight. Our guest today is Ryan Bundy.
Pull my string, child, give me a tour. I need it now, I'm bound to fall. Just one nickel in my head, I will sing you a lullaby. I got one foot in the grave, I got one in your door, and I try to see. Kiss me under the mistletoe, cause I'm going down slow, but I ain't going
Welcome to Musician Spotlight. Our guest today is Ryan Bundy. We are welcoming him back to the show. Good to see you again.
It's great to be here again.
Yeah, it's been a few years since we had you on the program. His most recent project is called Crow's Share, and I use that term specifically because it's one that you use to describe this project. We're going to be talking quite a bit about this because I think that through talking about this project, we're going to get to, you know, what makes you as a musician and what makes you as an artist. Let's start with that title, Crow's Share.
Sure. It took me a while to come up with that. I really wanted to make sure that I was titling this thing the correct thing for what I felt like it was, which took a while to figure out. It's something I did come up with. It's a takeoff on the term lion's share, which is the vast majority of something. So this is kind of an exact counterpoint to that. And Crow's Share basically is trying to get at the idea of just really taking what you need to survive and move forward. And it's sort of, it's a, to me, it's a humble notion, I think, mm-hmm. of being okay or happy or okay with less and just having what you need. And a side note to that is that I have always been obsessed with crows, and so I think that they're fascinating animals, and I think that they really exhibit that. They live off leftover morsels of, you know, our cities and things like that, but they also do really well in doing so.
Yeah, well, studies are showing they're like the most intelligent thing on the planet.
Exactly. I think they're fascinating.
It is fascinating. Yeah.
They make that work and they actually thrive. And I think that's the fascinating part about that idea to me.
Now, for you, is that something that transfers to the music and or the lyrics for this project?
Yeah. The reason why that concept is what resonated with me and I ended up really sticking with that is that this whole album is basically about ending a very long-term relationship and being honestly in a pretty dark place and trying to negotiate that and be okay with that. So that's really why this concept makes a lot of sense to me about just taking what you really need and moving forward.
I want to come back to some of the stuff that you're talking about right there later in the interview.
Yeah.
But I want to stop for a second, and I'm realizing that when I introduced you, I did not say singer-songwriter Ryan Bundy. I did not say guitarist Ryan Bundy. And I think that it was not something I did purposefully, but it makes sense given the nature of this recording. It really comes across to me as a huge jump for you, not a huge jump, but a significant jump for you as a musician and as an artist. Certainly, the first thing that hits me personally about the recording is the sonic palette, so to speak.
Yeah.
The mix of traditional instruments with electric and electronic effects, which are often very subtle. You've done, I think, a terrific job of painting a sonic palette. Can you talk about how you approached that aspect of the music, the sound itself?
Yeah, definitely. That was a big part of this project to me, was that sonic underlayment of the whole recording. It's become harder and harder to describe to people like what I play. And, you know, you're writing a bio and you're putting in what style of music you play or what genre, and I never know what to put down, especially now after putting out this album. I have no clue what even to call it. My goal was to create a sonic kind of underpinning of this album that really held the songs. I just composed all of that just very carefully over time, just trying to not limit it to what you would typically think of as instruments playing things. And so I just wanted it to be completely just a soundscape that could have been anything. So I was trying to think of what I heard here when I was listening to the acoustic stuff and then pull that out of something, some other kind of sound, and just put it in there and see what happened.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really an exploration process. Darling, love
You better laugh for you're bound to cry. Took your hand, wrote those words down in the sand, and they washed away in the rising tide. But I read them there before the storm was in the air, so they're always mine to reset. Darling, your worry man is gonna have to let it slide. You can't cure, you can mend everything. Even with your modesty, 'cause darling, life's for me.
This is John Floridus. You're listening to Musician Spotlight, and I'm speaking today with Ryan Bundy. Ryan, I want to get into what's going on lyrically with this project. You mentioned right off the top that it is comes from a very personal place, no way around it. And right from the first track, I think the listener gets pulled in right away to the fact that it is going to be a very intimate experience. You're sharing a dream with someone. I had this dream. I want to share this with you. And oh, I wish you were here to help me figure this out. You know, let's start talking about the lyrics a little bit and how you approach this and approaching an album that it would seem to me is by far your most personal.
It is all about that concept. And that, to be perfectly honest, I wasn't sure if it was going to be from the beginning. Mm. I was a little, you know, I guess had some second thoughts about whether or not it should be all about that. And I was potentially going to, you know, include more traditional tunes and things like that. But the more it went along, the more these tunes came out. And I just realized that it needed to be all about this concept. And mm-hmm. I think that ended up ultimately making it more cohesive. You know, a decent amount of the songs I wrote in the recording process. Hmm. Like I had recorded 5 songs and then I wrote this new song and I was like, damn, that needs to be on the album. And so I had a point where I had like 15 or 16 tracks that wanted to be on this thing and I had to start editing them down. But because those new songs were so much in the vein of the content that they just had to be included. It was a heavy album to write, honestly. There were many songs that I wrote and then played and then I had to sort of take a break. Partially that told me that, like I said, that this needed to be on the album. So they do speak, I mean, there's variation in the themes, but they're all dealing with that same issue.
Is that something that you had to prepare yourself for? In other words, the idea that you're going to be putting out something this personal?
Yeah.
It's not something, I don't think it's something that musicians or artists talk about very much.
No, and it's also sort of ironic because you write something that's personal, and that probably means that you're a fairly maybe personal or maybe private person. Maybe not always, but I tend to be that way. But then you put it out there in the world and it's circulating around, and then you are trying to explain that to people and it becomes public. And that's a very awkward juxtaposition, I mm-hmm. think. But it's like, that's what you have to do.
Yeah.
You just, that's it. That's it. If you want to make music and put it out there in the public sphere, I could tell you pretty much a fairly intimate story about every single song on there if I wanted to, mm-hmm. Other than Moonshiner, but I could tell you a story about that too, just because of myself. But anyway, it's a lot of these songs were just me playing an instrument on my couch and being like, oh, this is coming out of that. Like, I never try to write a song.
Hmm. And does it usually come from does it usually come from an instrument first?
It usually does not come just from the melody of the instrument from me. It's usually more about subject matter. And I guess that goes back to the genre thing. And I think that's what makes me in my mind still at least think that this is rooted in folk music a little bit, because it's about, I think that it's very rooted in like person and place and time and those kinds of things that are very sort of, they're just the foundations of folk music, mm-hmm. I think. And they're not just about random, frivolous, silly stuff.
Drink when I'm dry. give me a dollar when I'm hurt. Religion when I die. Oh, the whole world is a bottle and life's but a train. When the bottle gets empty, she sure
This is John Floridus. You're listening to Musician Spotlight, and I'm speaking today with Ryan Bundy. I want to come back to this tune, Moonshiner, because in full disclosure, I'd forgotten that that was a cover tune. Yeah. It fits in so well with the other tunes, and on a lot of levels, not just musically, but also lyrically. And one of the things that I wanted to talk about was that, and I think this speaks to the album in general, lyrically, the juxtaposition of the narrator, you know, going to a bar room with their friends where the women don't follow, and then saying, but God bless them because their, you know, their breath is as sweet as the dew on the vine. You know, it makes those characters more fully formed.
Yeah, that song, it's a traditional tune. It's old. But it speaks to me very strongly. It's one of those traditional tunes that I think it fits emotionally with the rest of the material, even if it's not exactly right in the theme.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, definitely yeah. seems to, for me, to yeah. the point where I thought it was one of your tunes for
yeah.
a second.
Yeah. Also,
I mean, it seems to me to write an album specifically about a relationship, you know, it's very easy to turn that into a one-dimensional experience.
Yeah.
And not to say that that can't be mm-hmm. effective. You know, obviously, a lot of traditional blues
right.
music, for one example, is very much that.
Sure.
And it's very powerful.
You know, honestly, I mean, these are not like first-person accounts of stories or anything either. When I said that I could tell you a story about each song, I can, but that doesn't mean that they're all, you know, first-person narrative or anything mm-hmm, like mm-hmm. that. They're not. And they're dealing with that theme in a general sense, not in a specific sense. Some of the characters in here are just doing what they seem to do in the song, and that may or may not be reality or not.
Ryan, at your website, ryanbundy.net, you have a long list of phrases and words that you use to describe the album.
yeah.
And I heartily recommend to our listeners to go there, if nothing else, just to read the list. It's a great list.
Yeah.
One of the most intriguing to me, though, was leftover morsels of childhood optimism.
Yeah. That list is definitely pulled from ideas from the album in a general sense, but it's also trying to bring a little bit of levity to the idea that this is about a lot of things and everything is about a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
And let's just explore that idea that everything like that can be embedded in something like an album, whether or not you see it or not. It's a little bit playful.
I love my baby. She likes to fly away.
RyanBundy.net is the name of the website, and Ryan also has a presence, as we say, on Facebook. Thanks so much for making time to come in and talk shop with us here, and hope we get a chance to talk again down the road.
Oh, thanks a lot, John. I really appreciate coming in.
This is John Floridis. You've been listening to Musician Spotlight. Our guest today has been Ryan Bundy. If you'd like to contact us, you can do so through the Montana Public Radio website, mtpr.org, or you can contact us through our own website, musicianspotlight.org, and as well, you can find us on Facebook. Our program is now available as a downloadable podcast from those websites, as well as from iTunes. Musician Spotlight is a production of Montana Public Radio.